thank you for joining us on The Skeptic Sidekick, where we delve into ancient societies, the ghosts, the paranormal, UFOs, all looking at it from the perspective of the true believer and from the skeptic perspective. Joining me, my partner, my co-host, my sibling, Kimber Rodriguez. Myself, I am Richard Gregg. And again, let's look into being the skeptic psychic.
Also, I have to introduce, because he's here, my wonderful husband, Mercy Rodriguez. He will be joining on most shows, so you'll hear him in the background. Every so often, he may put his two cents in.
Yay!
We'll turn around and make it to a hey penny.
What's a hey penny?
That's a half a penny.
Okay.
It's actually a British coin called, Christmas coming, he's getting fat. Please put a penny in an old man's hat. If you ain't got a penny, then a hay penny will do. It's also a term of endearment type of thing as well.
I've never heard of that. Interesting.
Interesting.
So, how did you get interested in the paranormal?
Trying to basically understand why I'd be scared in an empty house, or trying to understanding the nightmares I would have at age 5.
So, is that when you had your first supernatural experience?
Yes.
And just so people know, you are clairvoyant, means you can see the dead?
Clairvoyant and clairaudient, I believe the word is. I can actually see them, I can actually hear them. Yes. And no, I'm not a channeler.
No.
I will not tell you that I am Zortar from Zitter Zacular 5, and I have come to bring peace to the world.
That's good to know.
Cool.
I'm not a channeler.
Woo-hoo. But you can see and hear spirits. So is it true? I know a friend was telling me, a friend of mine who is also clairsentient, meaning she can see and hear, that when spirits find out that you can see them and hear them, it's almost like when a deaf person meets someone who can sign.
Yes, taken from a friend of mine, Ray Brooks, who actually does sign language and speaks normally. And it's like when a dead person or a spirit or even an entity, because there are different layers pretty much. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh my gosh. For example, I went on a ghost hunt 25, 30 years ago, just for fits and giggles. It was hosted by this ghost hunting group, and they had a psychic in the group with them. As we're walking around, and the psychic immediately says, oh, there's a spirit here that wants to reach out. And I heard a voice behind me going, are you effing kidding me? And I'm like, what? There was nobody around me. And the psychic looks at me like, oh my gosh, you can hear them. And the entity was like, is this for real? I mean, this is what the impressions I was getting, as well as the voice in my head. As the psychic's just going all gaga with the fact of, all this and that. And the spirit is just looking at me like, my God, what is her problem? You can understand me? Great. Tell her to shut up. True story.
Oh, that's just crazy. So,
I mean,
oh wow.
That's
pretty good.
As the psychic's going on about how great this is, and I'm like, well, ma'am, I just want to say that he wants you to be quiet. And the voice is like, no, shut up. He's like, oh, you may not be sick. Okay. Let's go into another room.
I remember a ghost tour that Mercy and I went on, and we had the EMF detectors, and his was the only one that went off all night. And it was as we were walking across the street passing the streetlight. So we tested to see, was it the streetlight that set it off? And it wouldn't go off again the rest of the night. It never went off again. He was the only one who caught something.
I don't know. I don't know. I
mean, yeah, this is the same man who threatened the fact he'd go in there with a Game Boy and sit there and play until the battery says, like, it sucks my energy.
Yeah, he used to tell me that the restaurant he worked at was haunted. Mm-hmm. And he's like, there's one place in a whole restaurant that you would feel a cold spot all the time when you went there. The freezer.
And I know why, too. I know exactly where he's talking about.
Well, his joke was this was in the freezer.
Yes, but there really was a cold spot in the freezer.
It's the freezer. It's cold.
Yes. But yes, there was a cold spot in the freezer.
Yes.
So, how did you get into this?
Well, I can remember way back, I had to be about 4 or 5 also, sitting at mom's feet, and our mother, she can see things, hear things. She's had dreams that have come true. She's had
prophecy and visions.
She's had a little bit of remote viewing. She can literally read our thoughts. And
which kept us out of a lot of trouble and a lot into trouble sometimes.
Oh, yeah. But I just remember sitting at her feet. We'd have company over, and she'd be telling them stories that she had lived through with her abilities and just being fascinated by it all. Even at a young age, it just fascinated me to hear that there was something other than what we see in a normal day-to-day basis, that there's more out there. And as I grew older, I researched more and read more into it and started finding out not everything that goes bump in the night is supernatural. So learning how to distinguish the two, is it real or is it unreal?
Is it just real or is it just fantasy? Is it just all in my mind or is it just, you know?
But I even remember being young, questioning things and trying to figure out, did this really happen? I remember one time when our neighbor asked you to come over because there was something in the house and they were scared. And I found out later there was a ghost of an old lady who passed away there. But I remember you went in and you said some scripture and the thing hit up in the attic. And I remember you saying that, you know, it's in the attic and everything. And after that, I kind of got freaked out, so I left. Later on, we went down the street and there was nobody at that house. But when I came back to go home, I noticed the light in the garage where the attic was had turned on. And I remember trying to figure out if y'all turned the light on or did it come on its own?
Interesting.
So.
Interesting.
I don't know if I ever told you about that or asked you about that afterwards, but it was something I had noticed.
Yes, I remember the house and I remember a lot of the weird things that would happen around our house. I really seriously think that up until we all three left, we had a spirit that would follow us from house to house.
That would make sense. I remember a lot of things happening in the house we grew up in, as well as the trailer that we lived in. Mom still has things. Any house mom moves into always seems to have something there.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't just those two houses, though. There was a lot in that neighborhood that was kind of spooky and freaky about it.
Yes.
I never understood that.
Yeah.
So, just so people know, you do not do readings, correct?
That is correct. I do not want to do readings because, one, to me, they're invasive. Even though you say, well, yeah, you know, I allow you into my spirit. There's a few things that when I have actually talked to other quote-unquote sidekicks, and yes, I have talked to them, when they allow you in or you allow them, I get that transfer of psychic force that I'm very uncomfortable with. So that's not you, it's me.
Interesting.
Interesting.
So, and I personally don't have anything but a fascination of it. I have not been able to hear things, see things, feel things. I just am fascinated by it all. Mm-hmm. Although I have been in places where I kind of feel like somebody's watching me, and then later on I find out it's haunted. So I don't know if that's anything or...
So you would have sort of a Rockwell occurrence.
Yeah, like I would...
You get the joke.
No.
I always feel like somebody's... Okay, yes. Rockwell.
I got you. I just didn't know the name of the band. But yes. No, I remember going to the museum as a kid, and I would always feel like there was somebody poking around the corner watching, and I would look back and nobody would be there. I just always had that feeling like something was watching me.
Dosett of the Whitty Museum.
Yes.
Hmm. Love to actually discuss that, but...
Oh, yeah, we can...
There's definitely... a contingency, the fact of... Well, we'll talk about it, but we won't talk about it.
Right. Well, and I had the same feeling at the Magnet, which is supposed to be haunted by the lady who owned the home that donated it to the city when mm-hmm. she passed. Always when we go there, I'd get that same vibe, like somebody was watching. So who knows, maybe I can sense things, even if I can't hear it or see it, I can at least sense it.
Well, everybody can sense something like that. It's just some people kind of believe that it's, you know, oh, it's the wind. It's, you know, just the freaky stories I've heard has basically made me feel this. I mean, this is, again, why I'm a skeptic, even though I've had my own experiences in that realm.
Yes. So.
Interesting.
Shall we go on to tonight's topic?
Sure. Tonight we're going to be discussing the wonderful world of the trickster, which basically has actually been an archetype in every single world of mythology, as well as legends and lore. But I want to really take a look seriously deep into the Native American culture's version of the trickster. Have you heard of Coyote?
Yes, of course I've heard of the Coyote.
And just to make sure that it's not some guy that'll lead you across the border for some amount of money. This is an actual legend of a trickster.
Don't the Native Americans look at the coyote as being the trickster?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. The coyote is basically what the southwestern tribes and the Plains Indians call them. But every single Native American group know this trickster. He is somebody that made somebody else's life difficult in pursuit of their own.
So they like to kind of mess things up for you.
Yeah. For the benefit of themselves. Coyote is actually a major mythological figure in most Native American tribes. They're known for their crafty, intelligent stealth and voracious appetite, hence why they're called coyotes, which is a Spanish word, which actually divides all the way down from the Aztecs as being this, you know, this creature. Now, the trickster itself has been known to be sort of one who creates, teaches, and helps the humans. The coyote actually brought fire to the Native Americans, too. If you look back in the Greek and Romans, that's Prometheus that did that, who tricked the gods into bringing fire down to the humans. But unlike Prometheus, coyote was never punished for that.
Interesting. You know, I do find it funny that, or not funny, but interesting that across several different cultures, there has been this trickster. The Norse mm-hmm. called him Loki. The Native Americans called him Coyote. The Romans had a name for him. The Greeks had a name for him. So it seems like this is something that is internationally known, but by different names, if that makes mm-hmm. sense.
Yeah. These days, our tricksters are kind of the comics, you know. While back in the day, yeah, their stories could be funny, but they always had a lesson behind them. Mm-hmm. Coyote is one of the reasons why we have death in the world. Coyote is the reason why we go out hunting. Mm. You know?
Elaborate on why coyote is the reason that we have death in the world and why we go out hunting.
Okay. Wow. I am trying to pull the stories, which actually worked a couple of weeks ago, mm-hmm. have now been blocked or telling me that they don't no longer exist.
That's interesting.
Yes. Could be a trickster.
Could be. I found something here. It's a Native American legend of the coyote and death.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, basically, humans decided, yeah, we'll die for a little while and come back. And coyote's like, no. Then what will we do about food? What will we do about water? What will we do about all these things? And so they sat and discussed it. They all agreed, yeah, we'll die for a little while and come back once it's done. So the day came when one of the elders in the council died. And Coyote saw his death and saw that the magic whirlwind come up to claim the body to take him on, you know, onto his journey and possibly return him. So Coyote closed the man's door. The whirlwind came, saw the door was locked, went away. So the soul was never claimed.
Hmm. Interesting.
So every time someone would die, Coyote would come up to the door, close it, so that the whirlwind would never take them onto the journey into the other life and back again. So that's the reason why we have death in the world and we don't return back, because our spirit can never come back to our body because Coyote closed the door on the whirlwind, which would bring them back.
Hmm.
Which made everybody very unhappy because they are no longer able to spend time with the deceased spirit again.
Hmm. That's so interesting.
According to this legend, that's the reason we have spirits roaming the earth, because
yes,
they have no place to go since the coyote closed the door on them.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Hmm. Again, that's just an example of the trickster.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
I mean, Norse legends state that Loki, who is the god of tricksting and Norse legends, that sort of thing, is someone you don't want in your life. They're not saying that he's chaotic evil. Basically, he's like somebody that you're praying, please, Loki, don't show up at my grandmother's wedding, because he's known to play tricks.
Right.
And make a life miserable for you. I mean, there's also, look at Hermes, a.k.a. Mercury, Greek Roman legends. He's also considered a trickster, but he's also a messenger of the gods.
He is also the god of thieves, which is interesting.
Yes. Again, thievery is for trickery. You're figuring out how to take something from somebody without their knowledge.
This is true.
Hmm. On that same note, the patron saint of thievery, as well as children, is Santa Claus.
Now, how is Santa Claus the patron saint of thievery?
Well, because the saint itself was known to actually go into people's houses undetected to leave gifts because he was being hunted for what he was. Saint Nicholas was known to break in to gather food or to leave payment of the stuff he took. So when he was canonized, he became patron saint of thieves.
That is very interesting.
Hmm.
And the reason why he was patron saint of children was because always very open and caring when it came to children. Although there is a story about when they were figuring out the Bible and what we have today, he was known to deck one of the people there. I can't remember the story, but
you know, that gives a whole new meaning to Santa Claus is coming to town, where it says you better watch out.
Yep. Santa Claus is coming.
Lock up all your belongings because Santa's coming to town. That's very interesting. I've never heard that one before.
Yeah, like I said, he would leave, of course, you know, money for the stuff he took, but at the same time, he would break into people's houses as he was going along.
That's very interesting. I never knew that. And we have somebody over here that's now in the Christmas spirit.
Right.
Sorry.
I'll send you that link about St. Nicholas.
Yeah, definitely send me the links for the information that you find so that we can put them up in our description. So if people want to research this themselves, they can definitely do that as well.
I'm not able to find the story of what I was saying about, you know, he was known to break into people's houses. But I did find an article of why he turned to the patron saint of these who repent. So,
I did find something here on Wikipedia that's supposed to be relatively well-documented, that he came from a wealthy family and that he distributed his fortune to the poor. Also, it talks about that he saved children from drowning, which would explain why he's a patron of children. Turned one girl away from debauchery.
Right.
Also, she saved a child that was abducted.
Right. And he's also the patron saint, according to this, of prostitution for the many of women he converted that were on that crooked line. Mm-hmm. And pawnbrokers. And you could also go into African stories of the spider. The spider in African legends, mostly among many tribes, is being a trickster.
No wonder I'm freaked out by them. They definitely give me the willies.
Her name is Anansi. Hmm. And that's spelled A-N-A-N-S-I.
That's a pretty name.
Yes.
Interesting.
Now, I've heard two stories. One being a Nazi, considered to be the god of all knowledge and stories in West Africa. However, most of the times I've heard the stories, it's mostly a Nazis using a female voice. But they're saying that a Nazi's a god, which changed it from being that Nazi was actually a guy.
I'm looking at one here where it talks about they tried to steal the wisdom in the world and that they tried to clip a tree to hide the wisdom. There's a couple of YouTube videos on folktales about Anansi. I can go ahead and link those in the description. He is the son of the sky god Nyame and the earth goddess Ayaseya. I apologize if I'm pronouncing any of those incorrectly. Interesting here. Question, are tricksters evil? It says they typically aren't evil. They simply use their cunning and deceit to get what they want. And usually it's through underhanded moves. They tend to be self-absorbed and selfish with their focus on themselves, their desire, and their hurts. So if you look at, as we were talking about the tricksters throughout the time, definitely Loki. If anybody has seen Marvel movies, he's very... very selfish and absorbed in himself. The coyote, as like you said, he wanted people to die for good. So he closed the door on the spirits.
Mm-hmm. Japanese mythology is the Susanoo, in full Susanoo no Mikoto, which basically in English translation, impertinent males. He was born as his father washed his nose.
Also, there is trickster spirits in the Japanese culture.
Mm-hmm.
And these are known as Tengu, T-E-N-G-U.
Right.
They're a syncretic bunch who cross several religious boundaries. And they're all ugly and mischievous and utterly predictable.
I'm linking that script in there for Susanoo.
Okay.
I mean, you could say, you know, that the tricksters are either bad or good, but always they've got sort of morality story behind everything they do. Prometheus was a trickster of the Titans, and what did he do? He tricked the gods, pretty much, Hephaestus in general to bring the fire down to earth in order to save it from freezing. And for that, Zeus strapped him to the side of the mountain to get his liver eaten every day from a giant eagle.
Yes, we know about that.
No, I'm just saying.
Yes. Anybody who's read mythology knows what happened to him.
Right. We can also look today and go, okay, yeah, a lot of with cattle mutilations, with alien abductions. Are we actually facing the tricksters again?
This is a very good plan.
And? Most of the people that have channeled these extra intergalactic people who say, peace to the world, you must get rid of all your nuclear weapons and love and peace, brothers and sisters. Are they tricking us to actually come down from space and invade us?
While we're armless?
While we're armless.
I don't know about you, but I'm keeping my arms right here where they're at.
Right. That's what I wanted to discuss about the tricksters.
Ah, I see. Interesting.
You know, what exactly do tricksters, you know, are tricking us for our own good or for their own personal purposes? Coyote, the biggest trickster in the world. Loki, the biggest trickster in the world, are doing it, you know. Let's talk about Loki.
Okay.
All right. He's not really of Norse origin.
Really?
He's a giant.
Interesting.
He was not born of the normal family of the gods. He was Odin. Again, this is in the movie, and it is based on mythology. Took pity on a baby that he found amongst the ruins. Took him and raised him as his own son. Loki is a dwarf Jonta, which is a dwarf giant.
Interesting. Yes.
In his own culture, the Juntas or the giants, he would have been abandoned because he had been deformed. So Odin's act of kindness by accepting this child into the family tree, the giants still didn't consider Loki to be one of them. Would have still abandoned the child in the middle of the winter to let die. So Loki's first trick was being this little baby left out in the middle of the cold and deceiving Odin to bring him back and let him being raised as a Norse god, according to legend, his first trick.
Interesting.
I mean, I'm not even sure if I pronounce the pronunciation for the giants, whether Juntas or...
Yes. On that, I am not sure of proper pronunciation. If anybody does know, they can write in to us and let us know in our email.
Yes. Drop our email address here real quick.
Our email address is info@skepticpsychic.com.
Willing to answer questions...
Well, we can also take, my mind is blank.
Make suggestions to us. Tell us what you want to hear.
Exactly. That's what I was trying to say, but it wouldn't come out. Let us know what
now, you want like to hear. Right. I would like to actually, as we ending this conversation for today, I know there's a lot of other sites out there that do this, their discussions of the paranormal or that sort of thing. But I'd like to end all of our shows with a shout out to these other shows. If you're into a very, very, very good study, but with a severe sense of humor, I would highly recommend for everybody to take a look at This Paranormal Life. I'll leave the link down below. They are done by a couple of gentlemen by the name of Kit Greer and Rory Powers, two Irish gentlemen. They put out a podcast every Tuesday investigate different paranormal cases and very much poke holes and poke fun at it. Whether they believe it or not, not sure, but they do have fun about it. So they're on SoundCloud and Apple Podcasts. That's my recommendations on who to check out. Kim, do you have any recommendations on who to check out this week?
One of my favorites has always been Darkness at the Edge of Town by Dave Schrader. It's a wonderful, wonderful podcast that's been around for quite a while now. I remember listening to it in the early 2000s, and it's very interesting. And again, it does take a look at the skeptical side of things as well as the paranormal side of things. So I definitely would recommend checking out Dave over there at The Darkness at the Edge of Town.
And from a secret bunker in Pullman, Washington, my name is Richard Gregg.
And I'm Kimber Rodriguez. Have a wonderful night. And again, if you have anything you'd like for us to talk about on our next show, give us an email and let us know your opinions. If you think we suck, let us know. If you love listening to us, let us know.
All right. Take care. Good night, everybody.